With today's feast of the baptism of the Lord, we come to the end of the Christmas season, which means, by the way, if you were dreaming of a white Christmas, your prayer was answered in the nick of time last night. We hear in the gospel today, this account of our Lord's baptism, a passage that is often difficult really to interpret, to understand. This exchange between the Baptist, St. John, and Jesus. John understandably kind of balks at the fact that the Lamb of God has come to be baptized by him, for he had already given testimony to the fact that Jesus had come to take away the sins of the world. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was there for the forgiveness of sins, and he recognized that the one approaching him now had no need for forgiveness. He had no sin. He had come to take away the sin of the world. And how does our Lord respond to him? Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, as is often the case, when we find a particular passage in the New Testament that we find somewhat confusing, difficult to interpret, we often find the answer in the Old Testament. And that is the case here. The word righteousness is a key one in the scriptures. And it's used in various places throughout the Bible, through the Old Testament, and then into the New. That word righteousness is used to speak about God's plan for the salvation of the whole world. Righteousness refers to how it is that God intends to and then carries out our salvation, our forgiveness of sin, and our new life in the Holy Spirit. And so what Jesus is saying to John is that it's important for me to be baptized by you. It's fitting, he says, because what happens here is important to God's plan of salvation for the whole world. Because what happened on that day was Jesus himself entered the waters to sanctify them and to set the pattern for the sacrament of baptism down through all the ages, to make baptism this key moment, this pivotal, fundamental moment in each of our salvation. You see, the sacraments, and especially baptism, are the way that salvation Jesus won for us on the cross. It's the way that that's applied to me and to you individually 2,000 years later and on the other side of the world. In our baptism, we receive that gift of new life because Christ has made the waters of baptism holy. He's filled the waters of baptism with that power to save us. And the fruit of our baptism is that we come to possess this great dignity. You and I, as Christians, are people of incredible dignity. Not a dignity in the sense of a kind of puffed up self-importance. I carry myself with great dignity. No, our dignity is the gift of grace. Our dignity is the dignity of being a son or a daughter of God, to bear God's family name, if you will. Our dignity is that we have become temples of the Holy Spirit. You see, just as after his baptism, the voice of the Father said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son." And just as the Holy Spirit was seen descending upon him, so too for each of us. In that moment of our baptism, we become children of God. And we become a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That, my friends, is the source of the great dignity that we possess. If you open your catechism to the third part of the four parts of the catechism, it's the section on the moral life, the commandments, the moral teaching of Christ and his church. The very first line you will read is a quote from St. Leo the Great. He was Pope in the 400s. And it's a little passage from one of his sermons from Christmas time, in which he says, "Christian, recognize your dignity. Recognize your dignity." How often do we walk through the day, not even mindful of the great dignity that we possess by the grace of God in our baptism? And our struggle against sin is really a struggle to live in accord with that great dignity. Sin, no matter what kind of sin it is living under our dignity, lower than that great dignity that we possess. When we give in to sins of uncharity, of gossip, complaining, when we give way to that lust of the flesh and sexual sins, or we seek the pleasure of alcohol or drugs, when we make wealth or power the main pursuit of our life, we're not living up to the great dignity that is ours. And instead of giving honor and glory to the name of God that we bear as his children, we profane his holy name. We blaspheme. Today's feast is an invitation to us to be renewed in our understanding of that great dignity that we possess. And it's a day in which our Lord wants to renew for us that grace and to strengthen us in that struggle that we all fight in living up to in accord with that dignity. This idea always calls to my mind a scene from the movie The Lion King. There's this moment, you're probably familiar with the story, I'm sure. Simba is the main character, the lion cub, who at the beginning is the one destined to become the next king. He has this great dignity because of the family to which he belongs. But he flees that destiny after he's blamed falsely for the death of his father in a stampede. And years later, he has this vision of his father far from home. He's wandered far. And his father says to him, "You have forgotten who you are. You are my son. You are more than what you have become." Those are profound words when you think of it. It's an echo of the voice of God the Father speaking to each of us in our wanderings, in our sins. "You have forgotten who you are. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are more than what you have become." As we ponder today this luminous mystery, the baptism of our Lord, let's ask him for that grace to be renewed in our own baptismal dignity. Let's allow the Father to speak anew these words to our hearts. "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased," so that we can draw from him, from his grace, the strength we need to live our lives in accord with the great dignity that is ours. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.